The Web's Michael Smith. It is episode 99 of the Canes Cast. And you know what?
What?
Let's make it a great one.
It is a great one indeed because we have a great guest today. I know last week we promised Ryan Dezingle, but it's not Ryan Dezingle.
You made up for that, though.
Yeah, some travel issues delayed Dezingle getting in last week. So we got in on Friday instead of Thursday when we were going to talk to him. We were both out Friday because summer.
Yes.
And
well, we both had travel plans. It's funny. Correct. What delayed him getting in is what delayed me getting out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we were technically caught up by the same weather delays around the country.
So Ryan Dezingle is in tweet mail this week. Dezingle mail. I haven't done a tweet mail in, it's been like
ages.
3-4 months.
Ages.
But we've rectified that, and tweet mail is live online, so you can get to know Ryan Dezingle a little bit. He answers your fine Twitter questions, and we'll get him on the podcast at some point in the near future. And by near future, I mean a few months.
Yeah,
whenever he's back in town.
How about this? We will promise you a training camp edition of Canes Cast with Ryan Dezingle.
With Ryan Dezingle. Yeah, that works.
That we can promise, and I'm pretty sure we can deliver on.
But we do have a great guest today.
We do. In his stead, the head athletic trainer for the Carolina Hurricanes, Doug Bennett, will join us coming up. And you are going to want to listen to it because Doug has been, one, a decade with the organization, and two, the wealth of knowledge that he brings to the training part of what the Carolina Hurricanes implement to keep their players healthy, to make sure that injuries are dealt with and how they're dealt with. So you're really going to like the look that we give you here with this interview. At least we hope you will. But Doug is a very, very great guy. Can I keep talking in generalities like that?
Well, he's a Tar Heel too, so that automatically makes him
great. You'll find that out in the interview. That gets out of the way quickly. You can figure out which one of us asked him about that and then said how great it was. But Doug is great at his job, and he's a great person. And he's a great elk as well.
He is. Fine. So, very fine.
No, I use great. I don't even go fine.
Okay. Well, great. I use fine in a very elevated term. Not just average, but fine, like fine dining, you know? That's not average dining. It's fine dining.
I like that.
Yes.
Top shelf, if you will.
Correct.
By the way, you're going to hear a lot of noise because Canes Cast is recorded in my office here at PNC Arena, which overlooks the arena floor, and you can hear the construction going on for the video board that will be installed for the Hurricanes and for the NC State Wolfpack, who also play here for college basketball and other events. But it is going to be massive.
Yes.
It's going to be blue line to blue line, and they are doing work to make sure that the roof can hold the video board that is going to be placed here and be a centerpiece of PNC Arena.
Yeah, their sparks are flying and landing on the floor. It's actually kind of cool to watch. And the framework will be, I think, put in place here in the coming weeks, and then the board will start to really come together as they build it on the floor of the arena, and then once it's finished, they'll hoist it up into the rafters, and fans will be able to see it in all its glory come preseason.
Yes, and again, people want to know, well, when's it going to be done? We can't give you an exact date, but my guess is what the arena, the organization, everybody else is hoping for by late August, that it should be done so they can, you know, put all of the tests and make sure everything is in working order for at least preseason hockey.
Yeah, yeah, late August, early September, target completion date. Yep. Canes Vision will be, they'll have basically a new toy to play with. And that combined with the projection that was installed last season, the theater lighting, it should really enhance the atmosphere here at PNC Arena for what should be a good Carolina Hurricanes team, a Carolina Hurricanes team that now also includes Brock McGinn, one of the restricted free agents that the Hurricanes had left out there, filed for arbitration. And was supposed to have a hearing on July 20th, Saturday, July 20th. But the Hurricanes and McGinn coming to an agreement before having to go to arbitration. And that's really, it's good for both sides that that happens, because arbitration can be kind of an awkward process.
Yes.
Because the team is trying to get the best deal possible for them, and the player is trying to get the best deal possible for himself. And so you can see where the two sides, you know, differ, and the player has to promote himself, and the team has to I won't say put the player down, but give reasons why the player shouldn't make the money he's looking for. So
the problem with arbitration is the team is going to show, you don't want to use the word negative, but they're going to point out
all the flaws.
Attributes and aspects of, you think you're worth X, this is why in reality we think you're worth Y. And it can become contentious. It can become a problem. So I'm glad it didn't get to that point. Yeah. I'm glad that a contract was reached, and I think it's a fair contract mm-hmm. for both parties. And the best part for the Carolina Hurricanes, they retain a guy who is tough as nails. He's one hell of a penalty killer. And not only did he score a huge goal in this postseason for the Carolina Hurricanes in Game 7 against the Washington Capitals, he prevented a goal that would have ended Game 7 against the Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
He's a heart and soul player, and he's a guy who has a role and fills it very well for the Carolina Hurricanes.
And what will be interesting, too, is to see in training camp where he fits in, because the Hurricanes have made some signings this offseason and some trades, bringing in Eric Halla at center, Ryan Dezingle on the left wing.
Yep.
That's Brock McGinn plays left wing. That's a spot that he's now going to have to contend for come training camp. And it'll be interesting to see how that competition really drives the forward core, because the Hurricanes, if you look at their depth chart right now, have probably 13 solid forwards. And that's not even counting Saku Manalainen, who is another restricted free agent still sort of hanging out there. A guy like Brian Gibbons, who the Hurricanes signed in free agency, he's in that mix as well. Martin Nechas, who began his professional career in Charlotte last season, looking
he started with the Canes, and then they moved him down to Charlotte
yes.
to give him more playing time and more seasoning, which we all assumed would be for this year to step in and play.
Right, so there's that hanging out there too. Lots of questions to be answered, lots of slots to be filled, and I think for McGinn, he's going to really have to fight to earn his role on this team. But that's what's going to make training camp, I think, so fun, and it's going to be great for Rod Brind'Amour. He's going to, I think, really just thrive having these guys really fight and scratch and claw for their roster spot. And even for a guy like McGinn, who, as you said, was the hero in Game 7 of the first round last season, even his roster spot isn't guaranteed. So he's going to have to really come into camp prepared and ready to claim his spot as a full-time Hurricane.
But the one thing I like about all of this, Michael, what you want to do as an organization is add as much talent as you can.
Yes.
And slot, you hear it all the time, slot players in the right place. But competition really is what breeds a winning program, a winning organization, that you have competition, not just, you know, the top six or your superstars need to be that, but it's the players underneath, you know, trying to keep themselves sharp and earn their spot. And if people have watched the Carolina Hurricanes, you will know one thing. Rod Brind'Amour does not hand out spots. You earn your spots. You earn your minutes. You earn your playing time. And right now, the Canes have a top six that they really, really like. And now they have a bottom six, or however you want to look at it, because really the traditional line combinations of, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, all that, it's went from that to a few years ago, well, it's the top six. And then it went from the top six to the top nine.
Yeah.
Well, now you need to be able to roll four lines if you want to be competitive in the NHL. And the Hurricanes can create matchup problems for the opposition with the lines that they can throw out there right now with all of that talent.
And there's also still, of course, the question of Justin Williams and what his status for next season is. We don't have any new information aside from what has been said in previous weeks, that the thought is that he's leaning to coming back, and that would be with the Hurricanes. But until it's made official, it's still out there as a question mark. And the Hurricanes cap space is dwindling. And it's funny because we looked last year and the Hurricanes are at the bottom of the league in terms of spending, right there at the cap floor. But you start to see why that cap space is so coveted when It disappears really in the blink of an eye. Once you sign Sebastian Aho, once Teuvo Teravainen's new deal kicks in, once you have to give Peter Mrazek a raise, you know, all these contracts start to figure in, that cap space dwindles, and the Hurricanes are kind of pushed up right against it. They are going to have room to sign Justin Williams.
Yes.
I know if you look on Cap Friendly right now, there's not a whole lot of space. I think there's 2 and change.
Yeah, 2.49.
But they also assume, you know, some players might make the roster. I think they have 23 players on the roster right now. The Hurricanes don't typically carry 23 players. So they're
– well, considering last year they carried 21 the majority of the season.
Yeah, so there is going to be room. There's not going to be a whole lot of room, but there is going to be some room that the Hurricanes will have left to sign Justin Williams. Should that hopefully, you know, come into play, because he...
And remember, this is still his call.
Oh, yeah,
and that's
for sure.
By the way, this is a good thing. This is, in, you know, I think we do this like once every 2 or 3 podcasts. Michael and I are Carolina Hurricanes employees, but this is a good call because this is Justin Williams wants to be here. He knows the door is open. Mm-hmm. The Canes want him here. So when this gets done, it's because he's ready to go. And I keep going back to what he said at the end of the year, which is he's got to be all in. You know, it can't be 80% or 85%. It has to be all in. So if he's here, that means he's all in. And look, I expect nothing but the best of Justin Williams.
Yeah.
And that's that. And he is such a class individual. He will not short an organization if he feels he can't give them everything that he needs to give them.
Ryan Dezingle is all in, as I think was made pretty clear last week in his first visit to Raleigh. We weren't around, but you know, I took in the videos. I saw some of the photos that were taken. He put in a really good workout with Billy B, of course.
That's Bill Berniston.
Yes, Bill Berniston, head strength and conditioning coach. And,
well, you and Billy are on that kind of relationship plane.
Yes.
So that's great. It's great for the Canes.
And one of the podcast's biggest fans, I think.
Absolutely.
And our harshest critics at times,
also
too.
Fair.
Yeah.
Also fair.
So stick around for the food portion of
the
podcast.
Yeah, that's coming up because you are in Chapel Hill.
Oh, yeah.
For a Canes gathering. I had to go to Vegas.
Yes. So there was plenty of good food to be had over the weekend.
Yes.
But Ryan Dezingle, yeah, got a chance to meet the coaching staff, did some video, and he's really excited to play in the system that Rod Brind'Amour has set up because it really plays to his strengths of playing with speed, creating chances and transition. I think he's really going to thrive in this system. And he said he's looking forward to making Raleigh his home. He's never really had a place where he's you know, been comfortable enough to sort of settle down and make a home. And he's looking forward to doing that in Raleigh. So I think the Hurricanes, a real savvy signing there in mid-July to pick up Ryan Dezingle.
And his fiancée, Elise, who's a heck of a golfer, pretty sure they're going to enjoy golfing here in the state of North Carolina, and the year-round golf that is available, so that's good. And he wants to be here, and he was that guy. Remember, Michael, everybody kept asking, who would you like, who do you see? I just like his versatility, and he's a character guy. You know, this is a guy, you take a look at some of the things that he was doing behind the scenes with the Ottawa Senators in that community, with you know, making sure that he was – letting the fan base know that he was happy to be there, what he was involved, special needs children.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot. All you need to do is Google it, and you'll see it for Ryan Dezingle. I think he's a great add in the locker room and then on the ice for the Canes. And the on-the-ice portion for me is he scored 26 goals.
Yeah.
And you can never have enough goal scorers in the National Hockey League. And, again, I take a look at the possibilities of the Hurricanes' lines and what they can do. They are a much more dangerous team here in July than they were last year.
Yeah, I think
in
so.
July.
I think so. They really were able to sort of leverage that cap space that they did have available at the end of last season, make a few tweaks, and improve some areas that were lacking.
And again, who's to say that the Canes aren't done making a move or working with the cap? There's still things that they can do to make that happen. And look, things happen in training camp all the time. Where
injuries, PTOs,
players get waived, trades do happen because an injury happens, somebody needs something you got. Remember last season, Curtis McElhinney was not on the Carolina Hurricanes roster until opening night. Think about that.
Yep.
So, and that was The big reason why the Carolina Hurricanes had such a good goaltending combination and made the playoffs because of how he and Peter Mrazek played off. So there could be a guy who's out there somewhere, not on the Canes roster, could be there come October 2nd.
Could be there come October 2nd if there's an injury. We hope they're not injuries.
We hope not, yes.
But when there are injuries, Doug Bennett, the head athletic trainer for the Hurricanes, takes care of them. We caught up with Doug this morning.
So, Michael Smith, we are with the Carolina Hurricanes head athletic trainer, Doug Bennett. Doug, first off, thanks for joining us here on the podcast. We appreciate it. Hopefully, how does the summer go for you? Is it busy? Is it like the regular season, or do you get a little time to yourself?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. You know, our summer is a bit of a roller coaster. There's highs and lows. There's busy times getting ready for the combine and the draft and development camp. There's some lows. We're in a little bit of a low right now, but we'll have some players heading back to town shortly, and things will start to pick back up. So
you mentioned the combine and heading into the draft. How much, when you just think of all the information that's out there on these players, does the ultimate information that you or Billy Berniston have with all of the information that comes in about testing and health and if anything has happened to a player that maybe the team is targeting, that you guys have to make sure that you've dotted the I's and crossed the T's on them?
Yeah, you know, that's part of our job is to, you know, I don't know what percentage, you know, so to say, that has in influencing management, but we present to management and the scouts. Bill gives a fitness summary. I give a medical summary. So, you know, if you're looking at these players as assets, you know, you obviously want to know that your asset's not broken, and you also want to know that your asset has the you know, the Ferrari engine under the hood too.
Let's go back to, I guess, the beginning and just sort of tell folks how you got started in this, your educational background and how you came to work for the Hurricanes and take this position as the head athletic trainer.
Yeah, sure. We actually got my start in professional hockey a long time ago. My first position right out of college at Penn State was with the Johnstown Chiefs. So for all you Slapshot fans out there, Johnstown was a great hockey town. I went back to school at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill.
A great decision.
Thank you, Michael. In 2005, because I wanted to hone my skills. And that's what brought me to the area. Did my master's there. I was working back at UNC Chapel Hill when an opportunity to be a game day assistant here with the Hurricanes came open. I jumped on that, and you know, it paid off into a full-time role shortly thereafter, and heading into season number 10 on a full-time basis with the club and third as head athletic trainer. I'm excited for it.
When did you know this is kind of what you wanted to do as a career, getting into sports and athletic training? What led you down that path?
Actually, it was in my undergrad education at Penn State. They have a major that's basically called your undecided major. It's a division of undergraduate studies, and part of your role or requirement is to go and meet with an advisor a lot more regularly than the common student, and you have to fill out a bunch of personality tests and likes and dislikes, and basically it all started to kind of point toward athletic training in that my likes and passions were sports, and my my calling was healthcare and caring for other people, and it kind of meshed into athletic training.
You've done more than hockey, though. You were with the Penn State football program on the side as an athletic trainer for them. How different is it? Athletes are so different sport to sport, or is it the other way? Athletes are the same, it's just the sports that are different.
You know, a little bit of both. There's definitely a difference in the athlete. The hockey player is different than the football player. But ultimately, their drive, their passion to be out and play their sport and be successful at it is the same, and that's one of the things that I love about sports and what got me interested in it.
Oh, Doug, you know the cliche, he's tough, he's a hockey player. So how much does that cliche make your job harder? Because you're trying to tell somebody maybe you're not ready to play, and they're trying to tell you, no, I am ready to play.
Yeah, great question, Mike. We say that there's sometimes you need to protect players from themselves, and sometimes you got to give a player maybe a little pat on the butt and let them know that it's safe for them to go back out there. Typically, the hockey players are a pretty tough bunch. I enjoy working with our group because I think that they bring that aspect, they want to be in the lineup. Their coach wants them in the lineup, and they want to be in the lineup. And as soon as they're physically able to do it, they want to be out there.
What do you enjoy most about the day-to-day here with the Hurricanes?
Well, I have to give a plug to Bill Burniston. So working with him daily is an absolute treasure and a treat.
Of course.
Naturally. Same for us.
But honestly, and I'd expand that to the whole staff. I love working with you guys. Working with our head coach, Rod, is absolutely phenomenal. Our management team, you know, they all treat us with respect, and I have a great time working with them and have a great professional relationship. So I enjoy that.
For a guy like Eric Halla, who the Hurricanes acquired this summer, got injured last season, hasn't played in a number of months, what's your role when the Hurricanes are finalizing that trade just to evaluate his medical history?
Yeah. Don reaches out to us, and if they have some concerns or questions, they can ask another team for some medical records reviews. So obviously with Eric, that was the case. Vegas and us shared some medical files, and I shared them with our team doctors. We had a good conversation. Marty Isbell, Joe Barker at Raleigh Orthopedic, about the injury, where he was at, what was going on. We did an extensive review of Eric's notes from Vegas. I spoke with their medical staff, and you know, we kind of give a report or our final say to Don as to what we think, and obviously the trade went through, so you know what we think, and talking with Vegas and talking with Eric, I'm super excited to work with that guy. It sounds like he has put in an absolute ton of work. He has put in an absolute ton of work to get himself back to being a hockey player, and I think he's going to be an impact player for us fall.
I was going to say, more in a generality, how much has the sharing of information, and not just that, how procedures for athletes in the field in the decade that you've been in it changed? I've got to think that there are some things that would sideline an athlete for a full year, and now maybe it's a couple of months. Would I be wrong with that thought?
No, not at all. Medicine is expanding at an unbelievable rate right now. You know, the fine-tuning of athletes, I think, is something that in the last decade, 15 years, has become, you know, phenomenal, from nutrition to strength and conditioning and all the recovery, all the resources that these guys have available and that we attempt to provide them to make them feel be at 110% every single night has grown leaps and bounds in my day.
You said that you love dealing with this team, this group that you've had here in Carolina. I just want to know how important, we always talk about trust. The guys in the locker room have to trust themselves. Coaches trust the players back and forth. But how important is that bond between the athletic trainer and the athletes, where there is that trust that these guys, they're not going to hold back from you. They're going to tell you everything. You don't have to play the guessing game with them, and how that really affects the job, that you have to have that bond with the guys out there.
It's huge, Mike. They're kind of a quote that I live by is, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you know, I find that every year with new players that they come in, it's a feeling out period. They need to know, is this a guy I can trust? Does he have my best interest at hand? You know, and I think that's one of the best parts about our staff is we are here to serve them. We are player focused, and you know, their health care is the top priority to this medical staff, this athletic training staff.
How closely, and speaking to using all the resources available, how closely do you and Bill Burniston and really the whole medical staff work with these players to where they have a plan for the summer? You know, we're about, a month and a half away from the start of training camp. How armed are these players for really just preparing to come in peak shape once camp begins?
Yeah, Bill sends out a program to them. He has it in phases. It's been, you know, something that we've worked on, you know, and perfected over the years. You know, our goal is to make sure that they have every resource available, and our job is to help prevent them to have any excuse as to why they can't be the top player that they can be. So when they come in, If there's anything that they've been missing, our phone number is easily accessible, and they should be reaching out, and we reach out to them too, you know, along the guidelines of the CBA and what's allowed, to check in and make sure that we've got, that they can maximize their returns and their results in the summertime.
It seems like you have so many guidelines that you have to be under. Forget just the medical guidelines. You've got the CBA to deal with. You've got the league rules to deal with. Are there a lot of jumping through hoops, or is the navigation path a little bit easier than that?
There's a lot of jumping through hoops, and there's a lot of red tape. I think that goes for every professional sport. You get millions and millions of dollars involved, and that's just what you're going to get. But we do a nice job. The NHL does a nice job of letting us know what we can and can't do, and the union as well, of what our guidelines are.
All right, without getting into specifics, because I think some people know, when there is a player who's injured in the off season, or multiple players, and as you know, nobody's ever healthy, Doug, at the end of a season.
Very true.
How important is that contact that you have? Like, because I don't know if it's restricted or if it's wide open, but how important is that contact that you have, monitoring that they're hitting dates or they'll be ready for certain goals, like when training camp opens, they'll be ready, or we know where they should be when training camp's ready?
Yeah. We follow up with our guys very regularly. At the end of the year, they're given a plan. You know, for an example, a player that has a postseason surgery, you know, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, for example, he, I guess technically his was in season. But, you know, he stuck around here. He did his rehab with us. When we got to a point of comfort, he wanted to return home. He spends his summers in Boston. We set up therapy for him. I'm in constant contact with Trevor. I'm in constant contact with his therapist to see where he's at, what goals he's meeting, reaching. He'll travel back to Raleigh at times to check in with our doctors and our staff to kind of get our hands and eyes on things. And you know, obviously, if there's any red flags that go up, we target them and we get on that ASAP. That's kind of how the follow-up goes with the injured guys.
In an 82-game season that lasts from October to April, there are bound to be bumps and bruises throughout the season, some things that have to be taken care of, like postseason surgeries. And then, of course, with the Hurricanes making the playoff run they did this past season, that truncated the offseason a bit. How much of it is about just managing those bumps and bruises to make sure that these guys can last through an 82-game season or even beyond into the postseason?
Yeah, that's one of the toughest challenges of the job is getting these guys ready to go, you know, back-to-back games. You know, I think one of the things that Bill and myself, as we kind of recap the year, is, you know, we had a great record in back-to-back games, and I think part of that is the recovery stuff that we initiated with our group this year to help them sleep better and eat better and recover better and faster. And, you know, I think the results showed on the ice.
Yeah, I think that was pretty clear. I mean, this was for the most part, outside of things that you can't control, this was a healthy team. Guys were able to play. But you also have another role. You're on the bench during the games. For people who don't know, Doug is right there in the thick of the action. My question, if you can, is there a story, a funny anecdote perhaps you can share from being behind the bench, where maybe, you know, you heard something, needed to do something? Is there something that you can share with us about some of the excitement that happens, as we know that Rod Brind'Amour, Jeff Daniels, and Dean Chenault are back there, and so is Doug Bennett?
Yeah, you know, I probably should write a book on that topic, Mike. Actually, Skip Cunningham, our equipment manager, should be the guy that writes the book. Skip's in his 40-something year of professional hockey. But it's definitely interesting and amusing to hear the chirps, so to say. Some guys are better at it than others, and listening to them go back and forth, I'm right there in between the benches, basically. So I get to hear it all, and there's some time for laughter. I two stories kind of pop up. One, I always get a neighbor or somebody says, "I saw you on TV," and I always say, "That's not a good thing." You know, it's good when you see, you know, Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen and those guys are on the TV. It's not usually good when I'm on the TV. That means something hasn't happened. But a funny moment for me was 2 years ago. Bill Peters, a puck came into our bench, and Bill Peters went to throw it over the glass to a fan, to a child. And he missed his first toss, and he missed his second, and eye contact between me and Rod Brindamore was made, and the laughter started to ensue. And after five tries, he finally got the puck over the glass to this kid. And the worst part of that was that John and Tripp had just sent down the camera shot is actually on me, and they are saying something similar to what we're talking about. You know, hey, Doug did a great job this year and whatnot, a little small piece. And me and Rod are in absolute laughter. And the one time I'm on the TV all year, right, I'm laughing, and our fans probably got a good chuckle out of wondering what I was laughing about. But it was quite amusing.
What athletic trainers certainly have, I think, a unique perspective of the locker room, because you're dealing with these guys day in, day out, all hours of the day. What did you see from this group this last season, just the way they were able to come together and accomplish what they did?
Yeah, this group had a lot of fun together. They liked each other genuinely. It was fun to come to work. Winning obviously breeds fun, but fun breeds winning too. So I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, but this group had a lot of fun. They were laughing, they were loose, and I think that was a product of our captain, Justin Williams, and keeping the locker room loose. You almost couldn't tell the difference in double overtime in Washington as you could in game 13, wherever we were that night. He was the consummate pro at making sure that we were serious, but we were loose too.
Doug Bennett, thank you so much for the time, and we truly hope that, and I know you're a big fan of the podcast, that head strength and conditioning coach Bill Bernstein has made it this far to listen to a great interview. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I'd be remiss if I didn't also say that Brian Maddox and Tristan Simmons do a great job for us as well.
Oh, that leads me to another question, but I know you've got things to do, so we might have to bring you back later on for the Canes cast, if that's agreeable.
Yes, live from the 1246.
Absolutely.
I can't believe it took 99 episodes of the podcast to get Doug on. We should really have him on more.
I think we will.
Yeah.
Because at the end of it, we said we would.
We did. And we are going to hold that to be true and have him back on.
Absolutely. Maybe even a live edition of the Canes cast at the 1246.
Wow. I can't wait.
Neither can I. Are you kidding me?
We'll have Billy B on then, too.
Yes, we would. It'd be a roundtable Canes cast in the season.
Full medical discussion.
But, folks, I hope that you learn that there's so much that goes on behind the scenes for a pro team. And hopefully we give you a little bit of a glimpse of that here with the Canes cast from time to time. But the tremendous work that Doug Bennett does behind the scenes with Brian Maddox, who's the assistant athletic trainer for the Carolina Hurricanes, in concert with Bill Bernstein, the head strength and conditioning coach, and then with Tristan Simmons, who is the massage therapist for the team. And, you know, when you hear that, but his role is important because, you know, when you talk about those soft tissue injuries or guys dealing with back injuries or something, he keeps them ready to go. How that group all works together with the doctors that the Carolina Hurricanes employ, and then the coaching staff where they're on that same page with Rod Brindamore with what they want to be. Folks, that's as much of a team operating as the team on the ice that you get to see here. And I don't think it was a coincidence that the way that the programs had been set up, and in particular this year with Rod Brindamore saying, all right, what are we going to do? I'm going to listen to these guys. You know, we're not going to push that, or maybe push that, like a great line that Doug said, you know, sometimes they need to, you know, the pat on the back to know it's okay, and the hand to tell them, no, you can't go. So that's one of those situations. This was a healthy team. They were in shape. And for me, that Washington Capitals series showed exactly how this medical staff created wins, or helped create the environment that created the winning organization we saw this year. Because that game 7, the Canes were better than the Washington Capitals in almost every way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. And it was, you could just feel that it was a matter of time before the Hurricanes figured something out. Yep. And it was, of course, Brock McGinn getting his stick on a puck centered by Justin Williams that sent the Hurricanes to the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, it did. And, again, if you're the Carolina Hurricanes, you have to understand what goes into, you know, your staff and what they're trying to do to make you better. And the Carolina Hurricanes, when I say that, the front office up to Tom Dundon ownership, they understand what a good staff that they have put together for training, strength and conditioning, head coach, all the way and all points in between. So it's part of it. And again, folks, you'd be surprised what it takes to get guys ready for a game. It's really something that it's not just here's the skates, here's the sticks, go play, guys. There's a little bit more to it. Speaking of being more to it.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
You had a weekend. Somebody could have told you something.
I got a lifeline tossed to me today.
I want one of yours.
Okay. I'll think of one.
No, you won't.
Yes,
just
I will.
Just go with the lifeline.
I'll go with the lifeline. You come up with one, and then I'll...
I have one.
And then I'll have one.
I'll have one
after you have one. This from Jason Bennett, at JBen626 on Twitter. The Canes will finish with more than 99 points this year, even with the upgrades that other teams have made.
All right. Let me see here.
I believe the line that came out just the other day was 95 and a half. The over under line.
I'd like
from
the over.
Vegas.
I'd like the over. Yeah, I was.
I liked the over.
I was there. I peered. We cannot make any hockey bets.
True.
But I peered at the lines. No, we can't. I'm in the role that I have. I am not. I am strongly advised not to, because if they find out that I have, not a good thing. So I looked at the odds, and honestly, I just looked at the odds purely from the standpoint of this podcast, which is that was my like it, keep it, and it's going to go a little bit along these lines. So thank you, Vegas, for our like it, keep it portion here of Canes Cast. 99 points. You know what? We'll finish with more than 99 points this year. I'm going to keep it. I think they're a top three team in the division, and top three teams will have 100 points.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know if we'll see. The Metro was just so super competitive last year. Really, the whole Eastern Conference. The fact that, you know, Montreal missed the playoffs with as many points as they had, what, 96, 97, however many points it was. I mean, that's kind of hard to believe, because you look in past years and 96 will get you in. I do think the Hurricanes could very well end up with more than 99 points. I certainly like them to have over the 95.5 mark. And it's kind of funny, because then you're talking about a difference of really two wins. That just shows you how fine the line is during the season. But I can see it possible of the Hurricanes having both over the 95.5 and over the 99 mark that Jason Bennett suggested.
So, that being said,
okay,
when I was in Vegas, they have a bunch of odds, and I've collected some of them. The odds to win the Metro Division, the Caps are the favorite at 7-2.
Okay.
So, the reason why there's the two, they don't do halves. It's already a fraction, so you know what I mean? They don't do like 3.5-1,
yep.
So it's 7-2, so it pays that out. The Penguins are 4-1. Yeah, but that's because it's Crosby and Malkin.
Right.
And Pittsburgh people bet crazy on Pittsburgh things.
I do think if this is the year that Pittsburgh is going to miss, it'll be this year.
By the way, the Caps at 7-2, folks, that's $3.50-1. You bet $1 to win $3.50. I'm not advocating gambling again on this show. I just only go out to Las Vegas for the shows.
Right.
And the food.
And
sitting at tables and making friends.
Yes.
That's what I do. The Islanders and Hurricanes, then, 4.5-1 or 9-2 to win the Metro Division. Okay, so that's they're giving them the third best odds of winning the division.
Yep.
That's fine. Good with that. To win the Eastern Conference, the Carolina Hurricanes 15-1. They're tied with the New York Islanders, the New Jersey Devils, and the New York Rangers. Sure.
That's giving the Rangers and Devils a bit more credit than I think.
I've got nothing on that. And then to win it all, the Hurricanes are 30-1. And I went to a couple of sources, and then this is like an aggregate. This is the
gotcha.
This is the average of all of it
yep.
that I've gone to here. But I went to a few different, and like the Canes were 30-1 pretty much every place I went. Some places I didn't go in the back.
The favorite, I'm guessing, is Tampa Bay.
That is correct.
Yeah.
At 6-1. Do you know who the second favorite is? Second overall choice?
No, I don't.
Vegas.
That's what I was going to say. I should have said it.
Vegas, followed by Toronto, followed by Colorado, then Boston in the defending Stanley Cup champions. St. Louis Blues are 20-1.
Wow.
Although Pittsburgh, the last repeat champions, didn't happen that long ago, but we'd kind of gone a while without repeat champions.
And, yeah.
All right. So mine for you
okay.
is 30-1. Do you like that as the odds, or should the Canes have better odds to win the Stanley Cup than 30-1?
Where does that put them in the league? About
like halfway
about
through.
Halfway.
Like literally halfway through.
Yeah. It's okay. I would send it back. I would probably send it back with I would say they deserve somewhere maybe 10-12 in terms of like the rank of odds. Yeah.
So like they should be around 20-1.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they should be in this grouping. The Calgary Flames, Dallas Stars, Nashville Predators, Washington Capitals, Florida Panthers.
Right. Yeah, they got a huge boost. Yes, I think they deserve to be in that group.
I agree with that.
A lot of that, like obviously Florida's is based on
Bobrovsky.
The new coach, Bobrovsky, the other signings that they made. The Hurricanes are bringing back a group that was one of the final four teams left,
yep.
and they added to it.
Yeah.
So
I do wonder, because these are the odds as of today, if Justin Williams was signed, if the Canes' odds would be better.
Yeah.
I would imagine they would be.
Yeah.
They would probably put them in this. They would probably put them in the Pittsburgh Penguins, San Jose Shark, Winnipeg Jets grouping of 25-1.
Yeah, NHL.com had the Hurricanes at 15 in their Super 16, which is kind of in line
it's right
with the
where
odds.
They are, yeah.
But I think they deserve to be somewhere in the 9-11, 9-12 range.
I have them. I like how you put 9-12.
Yeah.
They're in that range
yeah.
to win the Stanley Cup.
I don't think they're getting enough credit for what happened last year. I think some people are thinking it might have been a fluke. But I think you just look at the core this team has, the leadership that it has, the head coach,
mm-hmm.
the talent they've added. I don't see any reason why they couldn't at least, you know, get back to the playoffs. So once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. But I think unquestionably this is a playoff team, and that's why I think they belong somewhere in that 9-12 range.
The odds makers feel that they're a playoff team.
Right. Yeah.
But then it gets into who they feel are the Stanley Cup champion.
And that is. That it's a whole new ballgame once you get into the playoffs because, you know, the team that everybody had winning the Cup this year was out in four games.
Yeah. Again, for me, the regular season holds some stock to the postseason for seeding, but then everybody's record is reset.
Yep.
So
just got to make it into the dance.
You know, you had 63 wins. That's great. Guess what? Now we all have zero here in April.
Yeah.
And now it's who gets to 16 wins, not who had 60 or whatever. You'd like to think the team that had 60 has a better chance of winning it, but no. NHL is the great equalizer. Hot goaltender, power play starts clicking, or you get a line that can't be stopped, or a player who all of a sudden finds another gear in the postseason. Those are the things that can propel a team. And, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes have kind of, Michael, we've seen it, set themselves up in this position to be that kind of team where there's lots of pieces to like, lots of things that are there. And we talked about the competition already. We haven't even talked about the fact that, you know, is there room for Marty Nachos? And if there is, what does that do? Where does he play? Where's the skill level? It just keeps giving this organization more options to improve.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is exciting.
Yes.
And, you know, you went a long time through the wilderness, Canes fans. So did the organization. We understand it. But now they're coming out, and there's some daylight, and they're reaping the rewards of a lot of good things.
Yeah.
And speaking of good things, and here on the Canes cast, we'll give a quick tip of the cap. Congratulations to former Carolina Hurricanes general manager Ron Francis for becoming the first general manager in the history of the Seattle Sasquatches, Totem Poles,
Krakens,
whatever
what, yeah,
that they're
whatever.
Going to be. Pilots. As a baseball fan, I'm kind of a fan of that one. Like, you know, and plus, I think they used to have a Seattle Pilots hockey team back in the day. But congratulations to Ron Francis, a class gentleman, and we know that he will do well with the Seattle organization.
Yeah, I think you saw what he did here to rebuild the pipeline.
Yes.
And that's exactly sort of what an expansion franchise is all about. I think George McPhee was aggressive with it, and it paid off. And so maybe Ron Francis takes a little bit from that and takes a little bit from maybe what he learned here and becomes more aggressive and puts that team in a chance to be competitive really from the get-go. But yeah, congrats to Ron Francis. Well-deserved, and I assume he'll be filling out his staff with some familiar faces probably in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
He's got two whole years, really, to prepare for this expansion draft. And it's gonna take a lot from scouting and support staff around him, but they've got him in place in plenty of time to really begin that process.
This is what Vegas did, too,
yeah,
with George McPhee, where they brought him in to really be a part of, all right, let's lay down the groundwork, what we need to put together. And it'll be exciting. And, of course, nonstop questions about the expansion draft come in for the other 31 teams that are out there.
And he's and if there's anybody who's going to know, you know, the players that the Hurricanes are exposing, it's Ron Francis. Yeah. He's going to have that intimate knowledge of what names are available from this roster. So that'll be something to watch a couple years down the road for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, a few other things, though, Michael. Seeing, like I told you, I always have one of these for you.
Yes.
And
I always have one of these for you.
The Webs, Michael Smith.
The listeners are just fantastic.
Well, I keep saying you're a gem, and they buy into it.
They're gems.
And I even like how, because you're Michael Smith and I'm Mike, they now just put Michael, here is a like it, right. David, if you don't want it.
We're bailing you out.
All right.
Do have a question from Alex Tricoli at Tar Heels 132 on Twitter. When does training camp start? That'll be in, we'll say, mid-September. The exact date, it'll be just after the rookie tournament, the rookie showcase in Nashville, prospect showcase in Nashville, that takes place that first weekend in September. Training camp should get on the ice on the 13th, Friday the 13th of September. I believe that first day, the 12th, is usually reserved for testing and medicals and all that stuff that Doug Bennett and Bill Burniston and the medical staff oversee take place on that very first day. But then the team will get on the ice, and then the first preseason game follows the next week. So it's coming up very quickly. We're about a month and a half away from the fun getting restarted here for the Hurricanes.
All right. This is from Marcus Zhang. Name your top three candidates for captain if Justin Williams retires. But if Williams re-signs, how would you grade the offseason? I think it's been we can go with the hyperbole of an A, but it's not hyperbole. This has been an A offseason for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah.
They have checked just about every box that they have needed to check to get done this year.
Yeah, and the ones that the question marks that were out there early in the offseason, like what are you going to do about goaltending? Will you be able to get Peter Mrazek or Curtis McElhinney back? The Hurricanes answered those questions.
Can you get a goal scorer?
Yeah.
Get a 26-goal scorer? A man who scored 26 goals in Ryan Dzingel through free agency, a guy who was instrumental 2 years ago in Vegas's run to the Stanley Cup Finals, and Eric Halla, in a deal that you gave up a minor league prospect for it, and we wish Nick Waugh lots of luck in Vegas, and hopefully he can turn into, and you need luck in Vegas, trust
yes,
me.
You do.
Trust me. but at the same time, you know, you get a guy who is a top nine forward for somebody who has not really had hasn't had the opportunity to play in the NHL because it's been blocked, but now you bring in that guy. I really like what the offseason has done.
Yep.
You promote a coach from within to keep things in the continuity rolling with the AHL Charlotte Checkers. So
the defending Calder Cup champion Charlotte Checkers.
You know, lots of good things to get in here. So I'll give it an A
right
now. But again, off seasons are great. And, you know, grading the off season, but this is, can I go back to my old radio days?
Sure.
Thanks. when I was in Richmond, dealt with a lot of Washington Redskins fans, and they were the off-season champions every year. Mm. Their fans just, oh, we got this guy and that guy and this guy. And I'm like, that's great. Doesn't mean anything until you get on the field to play.
Yep.
So it's nice. It's really good. But that was the fans overreacting to signing a guy who probably, you know, it's more than one guy. This is different. These are pieces that fit in the puzzle for the Carolina Hurricanes that were missing last year. Yeah. For a team that made it to the conference finals.
Right. Ranking the Florida Panthers ahead of the Hurricanes is a bit aggressive, I think, when that team hasn't hit the ice.
Exactly. That's what, like, because people can sit there and say, oh, the Panthers have had an A off season. Okay. Yeah, the Rangers had an A off season.
That's
and
fair.
They did.
But I believe it's all relative. You
exactly.
know, they had an A off season relative to
where
their
they
performance
were.
Last year.
This A for the Carolina Hurricanes, again, goes to look at the boxes that need to be checked. How many of them got checked?
Yeah.
They did.
And it's not like I don't think it's like this team completely overachieved last year. I do think there was some overachievement in certain areas. And certainly when you get to a game 7 and double overtime, it is a toss-up. But, you know, we go back to the talk about their conditioning. And there's reasons why the Hurricanes did what they were able to do last year. And I see no reason why they can't repeat it again this year. So... yeah, that's it's all relative. And the Hurricanes had a good offseason.
Yeah.
Whether Williams resigns or not, if he does resign, it's even more of a plus this offseason.
Yeah. How about this? A minus to an A, possibly A to A plus. How about that?
Yeah.
So all of the A is
A
covered.
With a little dot next
exactly.
to it. It's a new grade.
It's covered,
yes.
If you will. An asterisk, if you will.
Mm.
Thank you. This from Kusawachi. I'm going to believe that's from Kernersville. You might need to pronounce that a little bit better than me.
I have name escapes me.
This one, at me, is the rig shrinking over the summer layoff, or is the phone screen versus the TV screen? That's Kane's cast because I was on NHL Network on Friday before I left for vacation.
Talking about the surge.
Yeah, talking about the surge. To that person, the phone screen versus the TV screen has nothing to do with it because I'd be... they expanded to fit your TV screen. So are you watching on a smaller TV screen? Kusawachi? Perhaps. No, it's all lighting and angles. That's what I tell everybody. Michael Smith gets smaller in the off season.
The magic of television.
I don't know. It's not television. That was my phone. So.
Well, but it was on television.
Well, I set up the shot, too. So, and trust me, there was a lot of, you think there was gerrymandering in this state? Wow, you need to see how I set up the camera. See what I did there?
Yeah.
It's the only time we'll ever be political on
okay.
it. This from Kate Merrill. With the Brock McGinn signing, is there enough cap room left for the captain? I think we kind of covered that,
yep.
Kate. But, yes, there'll be enough.
Yep.
And it also depends on what he wants to sign for. So this from Josh Holdner, completing, I believe, even sending us Canes Cast questions before the Canes Cast was a thing. Not to be the glass half empty type of guy. I wish the face that I just made to Michael Smith in his return, part of the video portion of this episode of Canes Cast. But with the stacked lineup, do you foresee any problems, challenges from this team? I know in years past we've had a good team on paper, but doesn't produce as good as it should.
No.
Glass is half full, Josh, and it's half full with really good players and competition. It'll make the Canes better.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. And one more. This is from Catbert, CLR, on Twitter. Hey, Mike Maniscalco. Saw you were in Las Vegas over the weekend. Anything new to check out in restaurants, bars, or shows? I did not make it to a show, unfortunately, because we just ran out of time because of my travel issues that were on the front and back half of said trip. But there's a new hotel where the Monte Carlo used to be. It is now the Park MGM, and part of that is a hotel called Nomad. And they have a bar, and it's called the Bar at Nomad. Go figure that one.
Makes sense.
Unbelievable.
Oh.
Really good vibe. Great cocktails. Good food you can get at the bar. There's a restaurant, too, the Nomad restaurant. It's from New York City, too. But go to the bar.
I assume the cocktails are reasonably priced.
For Vegas, yeah.
Oh, okay.
What do you think reasonably priced is? In your mind, what's reasonably priced, and then I'll tell you yes or no.
Well, reasonably priced for Vegas or reasonably priced, period?
Reasonably priced for your mind.
10 to 13.
In your mind? That's 10. Anywhere.
We'll say an even 10.
Yeah, that's not that far off.
Okay.
They're about $16.
Yeah, that sounds about right for Vegas.
For Vegas. So, again, folks, you think Vegas is cheap. It's not.
No.
But it was really good. I would highly recommend going to the bar. Like I said, very, very good vibe. And restaurants, oh boy, found a couple of really great ones. But Esther's Kitchen off of the Strip, it's Italian. I had a smoked pasta with porchetta in it.
Did Esther make it?
I think so. And she wonderful human being if she did. It was amazing. So if you wanted really good Italian, so if we got the time, I'll try to get us down there, Mr. Smith.
We went to a good Italian place when we were in Vegas this year, but I forget what it was called. It's known by locals, but I don't know. I forget what it's called.
You're not being helpful, buddy.
Nope. I know.
And then there's, of course, always Frankie's Tiki Lounge, open 24/7, 365.
And In-N-Out.
I did go there.
I know.
On the last day.
You sent me a picture.
I have to.
It made me very jealous.
Well, you should be jealous. It's so good, Michael. So good.
It's so good. Did you see there was a news story over the weekend of somebody found in Queens a full In-N-Out burger in the wrapper on the road?
Okay.
Wild, right?
Yeah.
It had to be, you know, somebody flying a private jet or something, and it just fell out, or I don't know. It didn't fall out of the jet. Like,
I was
gonna
say, if it fell out of the jet, it would smash.
Like, maybe it was catered on the jet, and then they took it off, and fell out or something.
Possibly.
But there's not an In-N-Out east of, Dallas?
Nope.
So, that's a weird one.
So, it is. That's it. Those are my new recommendations. Oh, by the way, Bill Berniston, you should have stopped listening about 4 minutes ago when that question was asked from Catbert.
Yeah. So. I have a picture of the food I ate at this restaurant, but...
I have pictures of the food I ate as well.
That's
if you wish to see, I'll show them to you afterwards, Michael Smith. But they're delicious.
Oh, found the name of the restaurant.
Yep.
Nora's?
Oh, yeah.
I believe. Yeah, Nora's Italian... cuisine.
I have heard.
It's delicious.
Also, you need to follow our good friend Bill Berniston on Twitter. I said that we would give a bit of a shout out for this one. So you need to follow Bill Berniston on Twitter. If you're not doing it, do it now. That's what I say.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine on Twitter.
He's your friend.
No, he's a good follow. You win the day if you follow him. You go 1-0.
And it's just at Bill Berniston. Well, this is what we're doing, too. This is, for me, the push to make Bill Berniston a blue check mark on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
And he doesn't have enough followers, he said, to get there.
How many followers does he have?
1,400.
Oh, that's more than I thought.
Decent, yeah. I know. I figure what? If we could get him up to 5,000, 6,000?
Yeah.
At Bill Berniston. See, he's not listening right now, so he doesn't know that we put the plug in.
Yeah, he already checked it. He's turned it off. He's texted us that he's furious and angry that we're no longer talking hockey.
Stay in your lanes.
He's probably he's driving, is what Doug Bennett told us. So he's probably pulled over and is just fuming right now that
exactly.
We're not talking about hockey. But
steam coming from the man's ears.
Yeah. I spent the weekend in Chapel Hill. Congratulations to Pace Sagister, who got married over the weekend.
Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a hard G.
There was Bojangles at his wedding.
I know. Saw the picture.
It was delicious. Hit all the Chapel Hill spots, all the classics. He's not here. Top of the Hill, Linda's.
So you just.
Crunkleton.
You just drank all weekend, is what you're doing.
Went to the Lantern as well. Not the Lantern,
just
Lantern.
Oh, you did? You finally went to Lantern?
It was delicious.
Just you and. Well, she's your wife, not.
Me and. And also Mike Sundheim and his wife.
Oh, so you did a couple's dinner.
Yes.
Nice.
Double date.
Well done. I went to Vegas with.
It was, if you ever are in Chapel Hill and are looking for a good Asian fusion meal, I got the bibimbap.
Nice.
So good.
Nice.
Just a bowl full of delicious.
That's what it is.
They brought it to me.
Pork or beef on the bibimbap?
It was just beef. Yeah, there wasn't an option. they bring it to you. They tell you just crack the egg or get the egg running and mix it all up together. And just enjoy it. And that's exactly what I did. And it was delicious.
Get any good apps?
Oh, yeah.
The heirloom tomato salad, if it's in season, I would have recommended.
I don't know. We did a couple of dumplings, pork and chicken. And
you got it.
Crab rolls. Yeah.
Good for you.
We went for it.
Good for you.
Yes.
Yes.
And
I bounced around.
You've got a lot of work to do in post.
Oh, yeah. I'll make it happen. But did that and go to a couple of different places to eat instead of like doing one big full meal here and there, although Esther's Kitchen was the one in Vegas. But bounced around a couple little tapas joints that we went to. You would have approved.
Yeah.
Thumbs up for you.
Also cheese fries at Linda's, of course.
Never had them.
Oh, so good. Very greasy.
Shocking.
Very unhealthy, but shocking. Delicious.
Well, that's okay. You weigh 4 pounds now.
Give or take.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to probably go with give.
Yes.
So, all right. That'll do it for episode 99. You know what comes up next week?
100.
100.
Maybe next week.
Are you in? You out?
I should be in. What's next week? It's still July next week. Yeah. So I'll be in.
Yeah. It's the week of my birth.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The big birthday special.
No birthday special.
Okay.
Dude,
well, we got to figure out something to do. We got to blow out episode 100.
Let's talk to some people.
We'll get our best people on it.
We will.
And if we'll plan for Monday. If it's not Monday, we'll let you know on Twitter.
It'll more than likely be Monday. I'll be here.
Yeah, I'll be here too.
All right.
I think. Yeah.
And if we're going to do it out somewhere, we'll let you know.
Yes.
If not, probably high atop PNC Arena.
Yeah, and then it'll be available for your listening pleasure.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this. And the 98 episodes prior to, we can't wait to do another 100.
And thanks
more.
For making us a ranked.
Oh, I forgot about this
podcast.
We are
the number 1,087 ranked podcast in sports and recreation in the United States of America, according to Apple Podcasts.
We've made it. High five. Well, that was a good one.
Exactly. And with that.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.